Hello, welcome to part two of the Pages Speak. And we have two wonderful guests here. We have Apostle Sonya Green. Yeah. Say way into the people. All right. And we have Prophet Ray Shipman.
Hello, Sam.
All right, all right. So we're coming back with part two of where we go, where do we go from here? Come on, somebody. You want to go ahead and start in?
Well, I just want to say really quickly, Apostle Sonya, again, tell us, you know, who you are, you know, what ministry you're doing. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you're doing really quickly. You know, put it out there.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm doing quite a lot. But so basically, I'm Apostle Sonya Green. I have a ministry called The Matrix. And I do something. I haven't been doing it because I've been so busy. But every Monday night, I teach getting to know Christ and teaching from the biblical understanding what Christ meant, break rightly dividing the word. We always say we like good Bereans, but we have no idea what that means because we just said it because we heard it. But rightly dividing that word, understanding who Christ was talking to, why he was Christ, just really breaking down that word. And I don't travel as much because of Corona. But I don't necessarily have to travel. We can do so much from right here. And really what I'm trying to do is just to say it, I'm trying to really break away from the system of church to go mm-hmm. out there and really get those who really are crying out for Christ.
Amen. Okay, Prophet Ray, give a shout out. What you doing? Where you at? What's happening? Come on.
Saints, bless each and every one of you. I am Prophet Ray Shipman. I am the senior pastor of Walk in the Spirit Ministries located on the east side of Detroit, the right side. The east side of Detroit.
That's right.
Come on, east side.
Right around the corner from Denby High School. I am an overseer over EFOD, a network we're getting together to preserve, educate, and push prophetic voices in the kingdom. I also have a PAT training, which is prophetic activation training courses, 5-week courses for beginners, for foundations, intermediate and advanced. Also, I have The Gathering on Wednesday evening. It is a safe place to gather for prophetic voices, apostolic voices, or just believers in general who have questions about God, the kingdom, ministry, church, and a safe place for us to give and get answers. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing, and I'm so grateful to be here. Oh, I'm an author, too. I'm actually working on a book now called Clean House, and it's a revision for Crazy Faith. It's about inner healing and deliverance that talks about how we're supposed to keep our house clean. Nobody cleans their house once a day or once a year. We clean it as much as possible. And the same way we should be keeping ourselves clean. And it gives you a description of how we're keeping those areas clean. So I'm grateful to be back here this week.
Yes.
Yay. Well, I'm Pastor Stephanie Page and again, Pastor Joe Page, and we are the pastors of Empower Kingdom Life Ministries. And on the east side as well, you know, we do this fellowship and thing. and we also have some other ventures going up. I also have a book that's coming out. It's called Gracefully Losing My Religion.
I'm excited.
The Journey to Love Without Limits. And so it'll be hitting the stores, Amazon, every place else within the next couple weeks. So I'm really excited about that. With a foreword from my pastor, Dr. Cheryl Piscopo. We want to give honor to Dr. Jerry and Cheryl Piscopo. We love them dearly. And we're just excited. We also are in the midst of launching Radical Love Community Center. Where we will be reaching out to the community to show the love of Christ and with loving kindness, hopefully love them all the way to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our goal. As well as offering many classes, training about things that affect the community and the natural, teaching about finances, have soup kitchen, lots of different things going on. And we just want to join with other, you know, churches. It's like we have We have many different bodies in many different places. And we can have one church, like I said, let's say you're doing the inner healing and deliverance this week. But we can bring our people to you. We don't have to keep duplicating everything in every location because it's supposed to be one church. But that's we're going to deal with that later on in the conversation. Now, we talked about last week where we were, and we brought up some doozy of some issues. We talked about the nationalism, the Christian nationalism. We talked about the racism. We talked about the inaccurate prophecy. We talked about the lack of accountability in the prophetic. We talked about the lack of humility. We talked about the hypocrisy in the pulpit. We talked about a lot of things in regards to where we are now. And now we want to get to part two. Where do we go from here? Where do we get to where? And the thing is, in order for us to know where we go from here, we really have to understand what the goal is.
Absolutely.
What's the goal? What is the goal? What was the goal of Christ? What is the goal of what it is that we are to do? What is the goal? So I want you guys to know, if you can, just pipe in briefly. What do you believe is the goal of the kingdom of God?
Well, you want me to go first? Well,
go.
I've always, we have to remember the original goals came from Genesis. He wanted a relationship with a family. He wanted us. And so that's the goal. I think what we've done, we've incorporated and marketed so much that we have gotten off of the mark. One of the things that we had kind of discussed on part one, which I wanted to say, was that the spirit of revelation, I mean, the spirit of prophecy is the revelation of Christ.
Yes.
So everybody's prophesying, but Christ doesn't look like a refrigerator. Christ doesn't look like a car. Christ doesn't look like a house. So we're not prophesying about Christ, because Holy Spirit comes to what? He comes to lead us to truth, and he always points to Christ. So
yes.
So I think, you know, even just getting a grappling, an understanding of that. Then we also know in John, it says, for God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we got a lot of spirit, but we don't have any truth. And so I think what we've missed it is that we have not really, and I don't want anybody to think that, oh, you know what you mean? I don't read the word. When you read that word, the Bible says, without a preacher, how can you say, if you can't hear, I think I'm really messing the scripture up. How can you hear without a preacher? So you always need someone to rightly break that word down for you. If you don't, because we can find something to fit every situation in our life and justify everything that we have. So you said, what is the intention? What is the goal? What has always been his goal? Is us, John 17, Father, I have not lost one that you have given me, and to have that relationship with him. But what we've taught that we basically taught us that Christ need us, and he do what he said. We do what he tells us. I mean, we do what we tell him to do, and we've forgotten that he is the king of the kingdom.
Yes.
So Christ introduced the kingdom, but Paul revealed the kingdom. He taught us what to do in the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom, how to function in the kingdom, get an understanding of the kingdom. So when we don't know those things, because we just look at Paul as Corinthians, how to tell us how to prophesy, tell us this and tell us that. Am I saying God cannot speak to you about a car or house? No, I'm not saying that. But God is not, just look at this. What if God, Hezekiah was in that bed, and old Isaiah was there saying, you know what? God is requiring your life. He said that, but you know, what if he went and said, yo, Hezekiah, God's going to give you a new mansion, a new castle. You know what I mean? So he's given us examples of how we're supposed to use this word. And again, as I said, the original goal has always been was as it was in the beginning, to have that relationship with the Father. That's all he ever wanted. If you always look, he says, Father, I haven't lost anyone, and I'm presenting them to you. It's always, he's presenting us to him. And so that's where I think, that's what the word is.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a scripture too, based on exactly what you just said, that he would that we would prosper and be in health as our soul prosper. I question, especially here in our city, I think I'm very vocal in the city of Detroit as it pertains to prophetic voices, because you represent all of us. And so when the only thing that you're prophesying about is the three C's, cars, cribs, and cab, then we have a problem, especially mm-hmm. the soul is broken, the soul is wounded. So one of the things that we teach is that if you're going to prophesy to people and minister to people, then you have to be as holistic as God is, spirit, soul, and body, past, present, future. And so if you're going to prophesy about this cash and these cars, then you better be talking about where I'm going, how I'm getting there in my heart as it pertains to being healed and whole in my relationship with God. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was this scripture right here, Romans, the 12th chapter and the second verse. And I tried to preach this on Sunday. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the thing that the Father kept showing me in this scripture is just one simple word, renewing. Mm-hmm. And that word really means renovation. And if Apostle Sonia just had her house renovated. And so in the renovation, I'm telling her business, but that backsplash, I'm telling you. But the in a renovation, you have dust, you have dirt, you have things that are torn down, you have things mm-hmm. that need cleaned. Even when you bring the new stuff in, it still gets covered up with the dust and the dirt until it's installed and ready to be used, and then it's cleaned off. What we need to start doing now is renovating our minds, renovating our thinking, mm-hmm. our thinking process. That means that we have to start tearing down the idols in our heart, the principalities that we have built, the ideologies that we have established as to what church looks like or what the kingdom is, and refocus ourselves, like Apostle said, that we've got to go back to the original part of where and how God started this thing from the very beginning. It was to be with us, not to be with me. I'm a senior pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm a prophet. I travel. I do all of that stuff. And at the end of the day, she already gave you the scriptures in Revelation that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It declares him. So when I'm prophesying to you, trust me, at some point, somewhere in there, we're going to talk about your relationship with Jesus. We're going to talk about how you've been broken and where you need to be healed and what bridge you need to get over. I am not going to prophesy to you just about your money. I'm not going to prophesy to you just about your business. And we've got to get out of the mindset of the cash cow of the church. In order to be popular, in order to get platform, I've got to give you some money. I've had to tell some of the prophets here in the city, do not go on, and I'm going to say it, the word network, go on there pushing, trying to get some money.
Come on now.
Minister to the people. They will know, because they'll sow in faith based on what you have said.
Yes.
You go in trying to manipulate the people. God loves his people, and he don't want his people tricked. And so as we continue to see it, just like we just saw recently in the news, Kevin Adele's back on the news again, trying to hustle Kwame. Things that people missed in the article, a quote that he gave was, people, pastors on the Word Network make a lot of money. Only comment that I had was, I tried to tell y'all 2 years ago, and nobody listened. Because we have built what in our minds God wants, and it's completely opposite of what he wants. And we're about to start seeing a manifestation of ministries and churches and ministers in unknown areas. I prophesied last year, God said that he was going to raise up people in the midst of smoke sessions at the strip club. And as they're smoking, they're going to begin to prophesy the word of the Lord. And I have personally started to see it happen. And I was sitting there like, oh, so you just going to sit here and prophesy? I know you have. I know you speak the time, but you got a word for the Lord. And so the Bible says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. And so we're looking at their sanctification, but God is looking at their soul and the fact that he's already won them. And so this is where I believe that we need to start going and what our focus needs to be right now.
Amen.
I just want to chime in on the scripture that you had, Romans 12 and 2. That's correct, right? Have we been seeing in the body of Christ a lot of conformity? When the scripture says, be not conformed to this world. But be transformed. We're not, you know, the question is, have we been as the body of Christ conforming to fit the world or to be able to draw the world, but not being transformed in order for people to see something different. So it's almost like every prophet, like you said, with the Cash Cribs and the three C's, we've been seeing a lot of conformity because that's what makes you popular. That's what gets you the next platform. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that in particular, the platform may not be there for you because people want you to come in and conform to a platform where you tell everybody good stuff. You're not coming with the truth. You're not prophesying what God wants to do and shift the atmosphere and change it for the better. So you choose to conform. It's time for, in a way, for the church to come out of conformity.
Amen.
I agree.
Now, when we talk about the kingdom, what I know the kingdom to be is the king's domain. Now, in the king's domain, that's where the king rules.
Mm-hmm.
So what he wants to happen is then what happens. So when we look at, again, you go back to Genesis. What did he want in the beginning? He created Adam, or he created man in his own image. He gave them dominion so that they would have rulership on the earth. But what he did is he wanted them to look like him.
That's right.
He wanted them to be like him. Mm-hmm. And who he is a God of love. But what happened was that the desire to be, instead of understanding and trusting God, the desire to rule your own and have your own sort of overtook him. The ego is what overcame.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look in the Word of God, and again, thinking about what is the kingdom is the king's domain. And there are certain things, I think, like in America, we don't always understand kingdom because mm-hmm. we live in a democracy.
Right.
So it's like it's whatever people want. They just vote on it and they get whatever they want, whatever they feel, because we live in this democracy. We don't understand a kingdom where the king is sovereign and his job to look out for the people, to take care of the people, to make sure the needs of the people, and the people are what reflects how good of a king that there is.
Ooh,
so we lose sight of what kingdom really is. So when we're under the king and Christ is our king and under his domain, the word tells us he's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. And again, he never tells us to trust one another, but he tells us to trust him. Because if we trust him, we'll be able to submit that the plan he has for us is greater and beyond what we can ever think or even imagine. So when we think about the kingdom, the king's domain, he wants to rule, but the place he wants to rule is not in the physical, it is in the spiritual. So the thing is, he wants to rule our hearts. And even now, Philippians tell us that he's working in us to both will and do according to his good pleasure. So he's working in our hearts and he's working in our minds so that we will bring our soulish nature, again, soul being the mind, will, and emotions, so we can bring our soulish nature under subjection to the king. So understanding that, again, the kingdom is, every kingdom requires territory.
Mm-hmm.
And the territory of the kingdom is actually in the people.
Wow.
The people are the territory of the kingdom, because as you change people, everything around is going to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Everything around is going to change. So again, he's doing a circumcision. The building is not made with hands. The circumcision not made with hands. Everything is happening in an internal operation so that the people will change internally and everything will then conform to the will of God, or transform according to the will of God externally. So in understanding that, or thinking about that in regards to kingdom and the work that God is doing, I now want to go back to the church and what he actually sent. Because what he sent was, and we can go to Ephesians 4, and it says that he that descended is also he that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, or into maturity, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mm-hmm. So in other words, Christ is the ideal. We've made him into an idol, And we don't know that the goal is for us to be like him. So because of that, the kingdom mindset is gone because we have not used the gifts that he gave in order to equip the people in order to be like Jesus, which was the goal in the first place, going back to Genesis, made us after his own image to be sons of God, to love him and walk and operate in the love that he was operating in. One commandment he gave. He said, commandment he gave is love. Why? Because that's him. That's his attribute. That's what he looks like. That's how he operates. So when we love, we are looking like the Father. When we love, we're looking like the ideal, which is Christ Jesus.
My God.
So when we talk about the goal of the kingdom, again, he told us, what did he tell us? He said, go preach the good news. Go preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Okay. He equipped us with Holy Spirit, who is in us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. Okay. So he's given us what we needed, the power. He's given us what we need, the example. But then we've lost it. Because Rome came in with this pattern, okay, of elevating people, putting them on pedestals, saying, listen, give all your money unto these people, and they're going to speak for God, and they're going to tell you, you can't hear God, even though you have Holy Spirit, even though the veil has been rent, you got to go to this priest. You got to go to this man and he'll tell you what he said, confess your sins to him, and he'll tell you to say some Hail Marys and rub your rosary beads, and then you'll be okay. And so now the church is built on top of that faulty foundation instead of the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, because the apostles are the ones that go into you. We want to talk about the deliverance. I'm talking to two deliverance apostles right here. Whenever Jesus went into a territory, he cast out demons.
Always.
Okay? He always went in and subdued the land. Anytime you take in a territory, the first thing you got to do is subdue the land. It's the apostles' job to subdue the land. They go in casting out demons. They go in as special messengers with the word, I declare ye here. It's a kingdom of God. I declare ye here. The kingdom of God has come near. Demons gonna start trembling and you gonna start casting out principalities. Where you've been sent. But we've got this idea that apostle's supposed to be a preacher at a church.
Well,
yeah. Well, you know, I just wanted to say this because, again, here we go. If you ask somebody, well, what's the fullness? What's the full stature of Christ? They don't know. So, you know, this is a thing. And hear my heart, y'all. Listen, I was when Bill Hammond first came, Bishop Bill Hammond first came out with the pitfalls. I got all those books. Yeah. I was there where it wasn't important. What was important that you know how to prophesy. It wasn't about learning about Christ. And now we matriculated, and now we have the manifestation of something that probably was a good thing. It's almost like the Baptist church, instead of the Baptist church maturing and growing and expanding, it just consistently stays there with this one doctrine. And so what is happening is that we have just, not everybody just want to prophesy. We don't even talk about the evangelist and the teacher anymore. They don't exist. And so when we talk about learning this word, because that's all I can do. That's where he has me. When you talk about, well, what's the full stature of Christ? What's maturity? What does that mean? People tell you, well, I've been prophesying 10 years. That's not maturity.
That's not
so, it. You know, we have all these thought processes and mindsets of what we think the body of Christ is, and it has nothing to do with that. I like what Paul says. Paul, he talks about it, because we if we really want to know, Paul really ministered. He talks about, he said, I give you, remember what Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, I give you what was given to me. And he says, now, if I'm not doing it right, then don't follow me. We don't say that. And so we have all these people just running. We got, look, I listened to, now how I first was introduced to him, I saw him on Bishop Davis' program. I never watched the word Crooked, Unsaved, Kevin Liddell's network. I never watched it. So,
amen.
Because Bishop Greg Davis was my pastor for about 5 years, maybe longer, right? So I turn on there and I say, oh, they talking about young preachers. Again, you got, and here we go. So you got up and said something. I said, well, I like that guy. He never talked no more, of course. But you know, so when you be, and so now, just like this, I've been saying this for 15, 20 years, ain't nothing changed. But guess what? I won't get that platform because my voice, they don't want to hear my voice, but they'll accept it from you. Just like they'll accept it from you because you have a husband, sis. So we got all these things. Well, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got all these nuances. And Christ said, don't even worry about it. You know what I mean? Go out. I minister. Let me tell you, I cast out so many devils. I don't go on here and tell everybody how many devils. Like, I don't tell anybody how many books I don't wrote. Who cares about all of that? When I go to meet the king, he ain't going to say to me, well, Sonia, how many of this? He's not going to say that. So what we've taught people is they'll chase you, Prophet Ray, and you say, if you go on Facebook tonight, say, man, I feel like prophesying, and please don't put that Prophet Ray before it. Man, you have 1,000 followers, and look, you probably pay your house and car note tonight.
Listen.
You know, because that's what we teach. We don't teach them seeking after Christ. He said, have love and kindness have I drawn thee. If I be lifted up, I'll draw thee. We haven't done none of those things. What we've done is we basically said, you're either a prophet or you're an apostle. So I don't even put enough. You see what I put, Sonia Green. Because if I have to tell you who I am, and if the manifestation of what Christ is in me does not manifest, then that's it. It may look, everybody needs an ass. That's what he did. What it ain't, everybody needs an ass. He told that, what did he tell the disciple? Go tell that farmer that I need that ass. So it just wasn't my turn to be the ass today.
Everybody needs one.
So we have to, I'm trying to get people away from living from making the prophetic word a lifestyle and make this word a lifestyle and then measure the prophetic word against the word.
But this is the thing I have to say though, even in alignment with that. Because we have the word of God. I love the word of God. But the word of God also says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's rhema. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is with the rhema word, which is the right now word, God, when it's used for what it's supposed to be used for, okay? Mm-hmm. Again, because the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Again, the foundation is the stuff you got to do first, right? Before you build the house.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we established first you got to drive the inhabitants, the illegal inhabitants out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you got to enter in the house, but you got to have a blueprint as far as what to build on the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, we've turned the prophetic instead of speaking forth what God wants to happen in this territory. Mm-hmm. And again, with every heart. So when you go to a person and you start prophesying to them, what you're preaching or what you're telling them is who God says they are and what their purpose is in the kingdom.
That's it.
Not so much what they're to do in the world or how they're supposed to have money and cars, but who they are in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So again, I love Shay, who's our producer. And she was like, you know, Jason brought her up and, you know, for a word, and I spoke what God said. But the word did what it was supposed to do in regards to setting her free to walk in the purpose that God had for her. That's what the purpose is. So again, when we look at any of the gifts and we look at the kingdom of God and what he has established now, and again, rightly dividing, and I can go into a whole about rightly dividing, because we miss a whole lot of stuff by putting stuff in places that ain't supposed to be anybody. And understanding exactly what the Bible is, and how, I don't even want to go into that because we'll be here all day. God makes it really, really plain. He's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. We know that it's there. He's laid out the plan and the blueprint. But we've taken the blueprint of God, balled it up, because we didn't understand why he did it the way he did it.
That's it.
And then we decided we were going to do it different. I think you had a question on your show or on a page talking about what's the purpose of the apostles? Mm-hmm. And people have no idea. They have no idea of the purpose of the apostles. Now, again, Apostle Sonia didn't put down her title up there, but then she just told you wherever she goes, she cast out demons. That's what apostles do.
True.
Okay.
Yep.
They go and they clear out territory. They go where they are sent and they clear out territory for the word of God. Now, if it's all working the way it's supposed to work, she'll go into a location, clear out the demons. The prophets are coming to the territory, tell you what the purpose of God is for the kingdom. Then he's going to bring in the evangelist is going to tell you the good news and how the work that Jesus Christ did has set you up and let you know that you're now empowered by Holy Spirit to now do the work of the kingdom. Then we're going to hand you off to a pastor that's going to sit there and watch over you and keep you and coddle you and do whatever he needs to do until you get built up. And the teacher's there to teach you the word so that you're equipped to do what you need to do so that you can get out.
Come on.
Absolutely.
That was it. And we're done. Thank you for watching.
So the thing is, everything he does is for a reason. But we have taken this model that is not the model that Christ gave.
My God.
And we're taking it and we won't. Why won't we tear it down?
Because we don't know the word. Here again, so I like what you said. I love all of that. You said the word established, everything's established upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So if we look back, what is God saying when he said that? So if we look in the OT, the Torah, the Tanakh, whatever you want to call it, the five books, and then you've got the writings of the prophets. And if you look at what they're doing, they're all what? Pointing to Christ.
Christ.
So all pointing to Christ. Right? That's the cake. That's all the ingredients. It's coming. Just put it together. I'm telling you, the cake is being made. So you just get that. We got the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, his little brother Luke, and big brother John. What they come in and do, they come and stir it up and put all the ingredients together, right? And then Jesus can put it in the oven. And then we got what Paul wrote most of the Old Testament, of the New Testament. And then he says, here, eat this cake. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're missing. People have missed how to bake the cake. What's the ingredients that goes into the cake? And so you can't, but you, when you try to tell them, they're wrong. Because truth be told, because we're still doing a lot of the same practices that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did at the time of Christ.
Absolutely.
But you can't tell them that, right? Nope. You can say, here it is in scripture. Woo! I've broken it down. I followed the scripture. This is how you rightly divide the word. But they will cut you, tell you it's not true. You know, one of the things, like, here we go. And I'm going to shut up after this. So we always say about, well, we want our shadows to heal like Peter did. You know, we want all these things that the apostles did. But one thing, if you look through all of the NT, Paul was always rebuking Peter because Peter always revert back to the law. So in other words, he's always, you know, reverting back to the things of the law. And we can't, in other words, we cannot, everything that we have to do has to be in Christ. So if you don't know him, how you going to measure something when you don't know him? You know, how can you prophesy and you don't know him? Now, I can't. Come on. Now, listen, I used to DJ, honey, and I used to mix some music and I wasn't even in God like that. And God was talking to me. I'm not saying he won't talk to you because he can talk to who he wants to. But when you have the responsibility of releasing or speaking to his people, that is a great accountability.
Absolutely.
that weight of responsibility on you. And when you start speaking craziness and foolishness, and then you got what, generations being perpetuated, just like that. So again, I'm always, this is what he told me. I told you Christ came to me and said in April that we don't know him.
That's
we
true.
Think we do. Just, he said, we think we know him. We don't know him. And so, and this is what I'm finding. So people be wanting me to come on and cast out devils. They do. I'm not going to say I don't do it because I still love it. But my thing is this, I'm teaching you foundation so that when a jackleg come, right? Or when somebody comes, when you talk about, because we always say discernment, discernment. I'm going to teach you on discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is nothing but another word for judgment. We're judging your word to see if it's of God. So when we don't, but if we don't know the word, how can we judge something if we don't know? Where's our reference point? So I'm going to shut up. I feel the presence of the Lord.
We have the Bible talks about these people who a generation who knew not God.
Yes.
We have a lot of demonstration in the revelation of Christ. All of this comes back to what Pastor Stephanie was talking about the fivefold. And anything that is used opposite of what its original use is for, it's called use. And so what we see now is hear a lot about the Me Too movement. And remember, follow where I'm going. We hear about physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, abuse from your boss and your parents, your children, and abuse everywhere, driving abuse, all of this abuse. And the Bible talks about things are first natural, then spiritual, probably because we understand and see them first naturally and then spiritually. And one of the things that we have missed is that we see all of this stuff happening in front of us and we haven't associated them to the spirit. We see all of this spiritual abuse happening. We have people who are operating not even in the fivefold, but in the gift of the word of knowledge and wisdom, and we have deemed them prophet. We have titles and labels and responsibilities that they don't even know how to carry.
Absolutely.
This is not even the fault of them. This is the generations that we have built. There was a time where we haven't, I guess we just haven't found our balance yet, because at one point we were saying when the prophets started really coming up, what, the last 20, 30 years, all of a sudden these prophets, these prophets, these prophets. But I remember a time when people were afraid of the prophets to come. So then it got into that point where we don't want the prophets to come at all. And now everybody's a prophet. And so trying to find this balance of, okay, so what is a prophet? Where is the prophetic? How is the prophetic is supposed to fit into our everyday life? Now, what we teach is that God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you.
Absolutely.
He wants to talk to us corporately. And everything he speaks in Rhema has some sort of root and foundation
in
God. The word of God is an anchor. And so what we now see people like a balloon having a prophetic word, carrying that thing around with no foundation. And it's because they pulled it from the spirit realm and not foundation of the word of God. And so we end up seeing and hearing people who are just giving words just randomly and under the assumption of that they are a prophet when they don't have the authority to declare where we're going or what we're supposed to do.
Come on now.
That the Father spoke to me before this year started, and he confirmed it through one of my friends, Pastor Eric Thomas. He said that this is the year also of the teacher. And so I wanted to preach so bad on Sunday. Like, I had studied this word, and so I don't do a lot of hooping, and I might yell a little bit, but I don't do like the, I've never done it, but I like to practice it. And so I practice in my car, and I'll be like, I see it in my head, and I'm like, okay, I know exactly how I'm gonna preach this. There's an art to preaching. The states won't tell you that, but there's a study and a skill to it, like singing, and there's a to it, or you'll pass out. And so I tried to get up to preach, couldn't preach. Power of God came in. And at the end of the day, I said, you know what? Let me just tell y'all what he said. And I was able to walk them through the teaching.
Yes.
No matter what we do in this year, if we eliminate the teacher, we will eliminate the student. And the student is a disciple. And our job is to make disciples, make students of Christ. Those who look
at us.
Here's a revelation for you. Here's a revelation. And I'm gonna be done. Remember when the high priest and all of them came, the centurion soldiers came to take Jesus away in the garden? And he said, the one that I kiss is the one that is Jesus that you need to take away. Nobody ever asked, why wouldn't this man who has fed 5,000, walked on water, had miracles, didn't everybody know who he was? Yeah. So then why didn't they automatically know who Jesus was? Well, could it be that they all looked alike? Because they started demonstrating the God Christ, the Christ consciousness, or whatever we want to call it, they started illuminating. They started illuminating Christ. They all started to look alike. This is one of the things that I can appreciate about the Pages and now Apostle Green, that if we agree, we disagree. What we are going to do, though, is demonstrate Christ. And when you see us, you are going to see Christ. It's not about me. It's not about my ministry. It is about us working together to build the kingdom. And I appreciate that in y'all.
I just wanted to say something. You were talking about the teacher. Do you know, have you ever noticed that the teacher is the most undervalued?
Yes, underappreciated.
You don't see anybody running to try to get an ordination of being a teacher.
Nope.
Yeah, you know, the teacher is really undervalued amongst the body. And they're very important because people need to understand and know the foundation of the word.
Yes.
Because sometimes people read it and just get information, but they don't receive the revelation that they need to be able to get people free. And right now, I love the rhema, because the rhema, you can't, it's like peanut butter and jelly. You can't have one without the other. When you take a bite of it, it's got to be good. You got to have a little jelly on there. Because if you got peanut butter by itself, it's hard to kind of
suck.
You got to get that stick kind of, I know that's task, but you got to get that stick. It's kind of hard to kind of bring it down. Until you get it all the way, but with that jelly, it kind of helps balance it out.
Right? Yes.
Can I read this one scripture right quick? It's Matthew 5:21-25 through the Passion Bible. It says, you're familiar with the commandment that older generation was taught. Do not murder or you will be judged. But I'm telling you, if you hold anger in your heart toward a fellow believer, you are subject to judgment. And whoever demeans and insults a fellow believer in an answerable to the congregation, and whoever calls down curses upon a fellow believer is in danger of being sent to the fiery hell. So then, if you are presenting a gift before the altar in the temple, and suddenly you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go once to apologize with the one who is offended. Then after you have reconciled, come to the altar and present your gift. It is always better to come to terms with the one who wants to be sued to you before you go to trial, or you will be found guilty by the judge. And he will hand you over to the officers and throw you into prison. What that's basically saying is your gift don't mean nothing. We talked about the goal. Your gift doesn't mean a thing if your heart ain't right.
Your heart.
Amen. Your heart. Because again, the heart is the territory.
That's it.
The heart is the territory. And that's what we have to understand. The heart is the territory that God desires to rule.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when understanding what is the goal of the kingdom, is the same goal as any kingdom, to take more territory.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, with the body of Christ, again, when do we come into unity? Jesus only spoke what he heard his Father say. There's only one Holy Spirit. He's not going to speak different things.
Nope.
He's not going to go against the word of God. So the coming to maturity is the presenting your body as a living sacrifice. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The maturity is in the crucifixion. The maturity is not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. The maturity is understanding that my goal is for kingdom advancement. So I need to unify for the body to be one with Christ Jesus as the head, so that we can do what it is that God purposed for me to do. There is no I. It's about one body, and we're all a part of that one body. So let's tear down these walls. Mm-hmm. Let's get under the agenda of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Let's get under the one agenda of God. Where do we go from here? Wherever God tells us to go.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from here? Wherever our head leads us. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here? It's to take whatever territory we can take from the enemy and plant down the flag of Jesus, that let them accept Christ into their hearts so that he can begin to do the work, because it's him that works in us, but will and do according to the pleasure of our God. It's not our job. It's the Father's job. We love them to Christ. Bring them into the kingdom and keep it going.
Yes.
So where do we go from here? I say to advance the kingdom in unity. That's where I believe we have to go from here. So I pray that we're able to do this. We're a little over time, you know, so I got to wrap it up. She keeps telling me I got to wrap it up. So, but I want to say, I believe that's where we go. So let's think about, and this may be some future shows. What is hindering the unity in the body? Let's deal with it. Hallelujah. What is hindering the unity in the body? Let's deal with it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Maybe we need to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Whatever bring the unity in the body. What agenda has raised up in the body that didn't come from God? We got to deal with it.
My God.
Oh, woo! So, hallelujah. Where do we go from here? We got some work to do in order to advance the kingdom of God. But I know with wonderful friends, brothers, sisters, daughters and sons of the Most High God, when we are listening to our daddy,
yes,
we can do it.
Can't miss it.
Amen. Amen. I can't wait till we can have you on again. I don't know when, y'all. Please let me know what your calendars are. I love you. I love you. I love you. So I have to wrap it up. Hallelujah. This has been the Page to Speak with Apostle Sonya Green, Prophet Ray Shipman.
Yep.
I'm Stephanie Page.
And I'm Pastor Joe Nathan Lee.
He an apostle. Demon scared to death of him. Anyway,
I wrote that down.
But glory to God. We love you. We praise God for each and every one of you. Until we meet again next Thursday, 9 p.m., we're the Pages.
Yep.
The Pages Speak. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless.